This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
K108 on this Sunday morning. That was the third grade students of Haha'one Elementary School, and they sang that song about Earth Day, which was a few days ago. It's time for the Carol Cox Show here at K108. We have a guest in the studio today, and if you'd like to call in, 524-1080, because Rod Tan is in the studio with Carol Cox this morning. Here's Carol.
All righty. Good morning. Thank you, Francis. Good morning, everybody out there, and welcome, Rod. Glad you came in.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
All righty. We'll get down to it. I know on this show, I take pot shots at everybody.
Sure,
And you've been... I've had comments about you, and some of them have not been in the best, you know, politician. When we get to talking about politicians,
I live in a glass bowl, right? Everybody has their opinion.
But what's telling is when you're able to go back and forget all that, be factual, be truthful, and then. But I had to reach out to you because after seeing your situation with this recent debacle, what's going on with the. Your issues, and the paper showed you as explaining something as being it was math errors and what have you, and I'm thinking, that's funny. I'm reporting on the mayor, major egregious unethical practices, city workers unethical practices, and I don't mean in the minor sense, and others. And then I learned that the very guy that's attempting to prosecute or persecute you, when I compare what is really going on, he seemed to have had it, this is Chuck Tuttle, seemed to have had it out for you, in for you, because when I went to him for others, and I was sending city employees to him, and he would get it, and it would wash it. And so that spoke to, it created a distrust between me and the city workers who would trust me to go to the city ethics commission. And as I've said on this show, it's a strange thing. The people that are judging you are the City Ethics Commission. Rex Smith is a partner in the law firm with Bert Kobayashi, who is quite closely affiliated with Mufi Hanneman and the Fellows Program as an advisor and as has city contracts and what have you. And it is involved in Hanneman's gubernatorial efforts. So I thought I would reach out to you because fair is fair. And,
sure.
And if unethical, and I don't want to dwell on it because we have many issues. I just learned 100 senior citizens were at the city hall trying to address issues that's going to impact them, and that was on the River Street affordable housings and what have you. So anyway, real quickly, give us a little bit of introduction, what district you're from, what your plans are, and we'll hop into it.
Right. Thank you very much. I'm Rod Tan, a city councilman. My area consists of from Kalihi Valley to Cam Heights, Oliva Heights, Liliha, Panui, Nuanu, Makiki, Tantlis, Downtown, Chinatown, Kakaku. It's quite an area. It's one-ninth of the whole island.
I see. So what is going on as... let's take the River Street affordable housing.
Sure.
Someone asked me, well, what are you guys going to talk about? And I began to tell them, no, I need you to, if you would, ask this question about the River Street affordable housing. Can you give us some insight and some background on what is going on and how? What are some of the issues? There seemed to be a controversy with that and other people on one side of the issue. Can you help us with some understanding?
Sure. And let me go back to former Mayor Frank Fossey. Former Mayor Frank Fossey was a big advocate for senior citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So he saw this piece of land right behind Baltic Mortuary, and he requested for the federal funds to purchase the land, a private land.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unfortunately, he passed away, wasn't able to build senior housing. Along comes the current mayor, and he says that he wants to conform with the use of the land for affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
Then we find out that his director, Debbie Morikawa, wants to have affordable housing for the mentally ill and drug abusers,
mm-hmm.
but without any monitoring, basically. And the city doesn't have any health services at all. So you just contract it out, and you let people free and clear go and please as they do, without the social help.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happened, the Chinatown community said, wait a minute, I thought that land was for us, you know, so that mm-hmm. we can have more affordable senior housing because there's a great population of increasement in senior citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then she put up a fight. And along came some religious organizations and social workers condemning the community, said, no, we demand that this public land be used for what we want it to be. And so I introduced a resolution last year, 09-364, to have the community, the Chinatown community, describe the characteristics
mm-hmm.
on paper and what they like to have their community. It's like designing your own house or your internal furnishings.
And this is the community speaking to you, providing input.
Right. And then all 9 council members agreed to that, but the mayor disagrees with that, quite frankly. He says, I go along with some other advocates that want to use the land differently. But this is public land. Public land is supposed to be used for the community, not for special interests.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now, I'm suspicious, but if this is off base, do you believe the mayor's positioning is political? Do you think it's a more of a vote thing rather than the right thing by taking sides with the other side while this community had already expected this to be senior home?
I think the mayor is doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the mayor and I, we talk story.
Mm-hmm.
We differ at times, we have similarities, but I think that at this time the mayor is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking on one-sided interests, a special interest.
I see.
He's supposed to play it in terms of saying, well, let me do some fact-finding. And this resolution, which he agreed, he told me, he personally, to have architectural design of what the community wants for us and of their vision for the future. But he's completely ignoring that now. Because I see it from a political standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to run for governor. When he runs for governor, he has to look at the special interest in terms of whether they're going to cause any problems for him. And it's well known that the Bishop Silva has spoken out, I demand that you put affordable housing for the mentally ill. That's his call, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then, so I guess the mayor, from a political standpoint, is nervous and scared.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want opposition from the church groups.
I see. So he's gravitating to them, as we're seeing, and later on today I'm going to be talking about the mayor's involvement, directly involvement with church groups and the ITN, International Transformation Network.
Right.
And it seems that he is placing himself as he places himself with the unions and anybody else that has an interest in votes. So he partners up with them. But what about turning your back on the senior citizens, something that's been in work, in play, in plans, and people have learned to expect it, come to expect it, to have a senior's home there?
You know, it's terrible when you go against the seniors.
Yeah.
The people who are the backbone for many years who developed the community, you know, it's a disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm of Chinese ancestry, and those who are Asian-oriented are family value.
Mm-hmm.
It shows a disrespect for family value, senior citizens. And I'm confused why the mayor has taken his stand, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things that I can try to offer some explanation why I think it's important to give. There's no debate whether they're going to build something there, so it's not going to be open space. So
yeah,
it's
already, you have to build something because it was federal funds.
Federal funds, and so you're mandated. But the problem is, you do this, and the public is now left with a situation. The city does not get into medical care, mental care facilities, and social services. The state has lots of land.
Yes.
And why would you do this? And just yesterday, I have some friends that live up in Wahiwa. And there's a gentleman he's schizophrenic, and he can be destructive. He comes onto a private property and destroys tables, cement tables, and he's knocking on doors. And nothing can happen to him because only a restraining order, and even if he got a restraining order, the judge might give him a 30-day restraining order. But this man is mentally ill. So we're going to bring people like that, and I have nothing against treatment and placing them. If it's to be, it's to be. But we should do it not at the expense of the senior citizens who need. There's no doubt we need room for senior citizens, and that's what that money was obtained for. And this Bishop Silva, he has seemed to have worked his way into the picture. And I understand today they're having some kind of march or protest.
Yeah, they're going to march from downtown to the River Street in protest against the Chinatown community. And I understand that the mayor, I got an email informing me that Mayor Mufi Hanum is going to be there. Now, you know, from a political standpoint, mm-hmm. it's going to cost him his votes mm-hmm. in the Chinatown community.
Mm-hmm.
And I introduced a resolution 09-264 to help him out
mm-hmm.
and to help everybody out to have something more concrete in terms of a vision.
Right.
Bring people together.
Mm-hmm.
But the mayor didn't endorse it, unfortunately, at this time. So I'm going to introduce another resolution. As you said, Carol, that the city doesn't deal with helping services of the mm-hmm. mentally ill or drug abuse, because that's the state of Hawaii. They have mm-hmm. those social services. So I'm going to introduce a resolution and bring everybody together
mm-hmm.
to the table. And we don't point fingers. What we do is we contribute in terms of what we each can do. Our specialties are helping people, rather than say, you got to do it,
mm-hmm.
or I demand that you do it, and so forth.
Well, I'm looking forward to see this political season end, because I want someone to take the reins and get back to the people's business, because for the last 2 years now, at the mayor's level, it's only been, we're seeing what's going to get him votes, and we're not seeing the true management that is needed in this city. at the time. But regarding Bishop Silva, being that we, and he's the Catholic Church, there's Catholic services. Do you know if they have any housing or for the homeless or for senior citizens or anything?
No, they do not. In fact, it is vacant. Catholic Church is vacant under the Catholic Church, some mm-hmm. land on Vineyard Street.
Mm-hmm.
They moved to Makiki.
Okay.
Which is in my area also, too, right? And that's fine because it's situated whereby in a proper place, right,
mm-hmm.
for their Catholic Services office. And, but what happened is this vacant land on Vineyard and Punchbowl area,
mm-hmm.
It's open land.
And they own it.
They own it.
So why didn't he...
They build it.
Build yeah. a mentally ill facility, a treatment facility on that property.
Well,
they got money.
I heard that they want to sell it. A monetary gain, I guess you could
I see.
Say.
Yeah. So that they can be able to go out and march and interfere with public matters and senior citizens' homes and whatever.
Well, I'm looking in terms of what kind of services the Catholic Church can provide to people that told me, hey, why don't we ask them to build on their land?
Right.
And they have a lot of land, and they're land rich, per se, and they're it's tax deductible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't pay any property taxes, you know, basically. But, you know, I say, well, you have to ask them. Don't ask me. You know, they're going to get upset with me if I ask them, quite frankly. You know, and I said, that's a food for thought, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You contribute to a society what you can do, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they always preach that give.
Right.
Well, people say, please give.
Well, this is why I reached out. I wanted to see beyond the comments, the negative comments about you and some of the things we've talked about, the bills, and we poke fun at you. But this is really daring. You're standing up for the fact that this is federal money used for this facility. It's earmarked for that. It was obtained for that purpose. And you're going to forego the church vote just to stick to what's right in this situation. And
I think
that's, you know, I think that's what I was looking for when we talked and I called you up and said, I'd like to, you know, be respectful and invite you on. If you could come on, can we talk beyond, go past the other incidents of the things that we find comedy and whatever, we poke fun at you, and see that you have some answers and you have some insight and you have some knowledge and it's just one of the things. So what do you think a timeline in this, by the time this tug of war completes itself, when do you think we will see any type of building up there?
It's hard to say because everybody's pointing fingers at each other to do the job in terms of building some form of affordable housing to mm-hmm. take care of the ills of society.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm introducing a resolution to try to bring everybody together.
Mm-hmm.
But the Chinatown community has a vision plan. They developed one. And it seems like at this time, government is not listening to them. I'm a very big advocate and very outspoken one mm-hmm. for communities.
Mm-hmm.
You have to respect. That's our form of government called democracy. I've been to Asian countries, especially China. There is no democracy. There is no freedom of voice there.
Mm-hmm.
There is no public hearings. But, you know, in some sense, we're doing the same thing here. We're not listening to the communities, the
mm-hmm.
people. We're letting special interests dictate to us. And why many times as we as elected officials, because we're afraid. We're afraid we're not going to get reelected and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the heart in terms of our job? Our job is the democratic process, the government,
mm-hmm.
the people. And if the people have lost faith with government because we have not embraced that.
You know, if I could ask you, there were 100 senior citizens the other night, the other day, that came in and testified on this River Street senior housing issue. How did it feel to see 100 seniors come in, and I think it went into the night, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
If you would, do you think, that, as a city councilman, do you think it had any effect or influence on you to see that 100 number of 100 seniors standing before you waiting to give you their peace of mind? What did it feel? What did the other city councilman?
Well, there was no other city. I can't speak for my other colleagues, but for me, it felt great.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that I was letting them speak out
mm-hmm.
in terms of their lifestyle, their character of the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody wants, in terms of their home, to be a comfortable city.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I use an example, how we arrange our house, our living room, quite frankly, is to our desire. It'd be awful for someone to say, well, whether it be a relative or a friend or some stranger that comes to you, I'll say, I don't like the furniture.
Mm-hmm.
Or you shouldn't put your chair in this position or whatever. And this is what, in terms of the special interests against the senior citizens, are doing.
Mm-hmm.
How irregular and how unthoughtful they are, quite frankly.
Well, I can only tell you that the seniors, to me, that was a major event. I wasn't aware of it, but I was astounded and shocked to find that I didn't see it in any news coverage. I didn't see it in anything. And this is 100 senior citizens. These are people that had medical problems. Some of them turn in at nighttime, come 6 o'clock. But they found it necessary to be down there, and I didn't see a single mention of it in the media.
Well, you know, the news media looks for action. Mm-hmm. Action whereby they want to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to sell newspapers, quite frankly. You know, that's how they survive. They sell ad space,
mm-hmm.
whether it be newspaper, TV, radio, whatever. So they want to look for wrongdoings.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that's wrongdoing, they push for it. And that's why people say, I don't buy the newspaper anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Why should I? It's all negative. You know, they only pick on our people and so
right.
forth. And, you know, why can't they bring out the humoristic story of people?
Right. 100 seniors down there fighting. But anyway, there's so many other issues that we will talk about here. But I just think that we should have gotten a little more play. And if you would, if you know any of the seniors and they feel that they need to be more open and express, I'll dedicate 1 hour to the subject again.
Oh.
If you know any of them out there or any of the seniors out there, because one thing about it, if we stay alive, we're going to become old. And one of the things, we should make it less difficult for seniors to find, or anyone to find homes, but especially, you don't have the wherewithal as a senior to fight every day to find out, and moving downtown, centrally locating to the doctors and what have you, and close to your families, it's only sensible.
You know what the seniors are, is, so to speak, the old phrase is the silent majority.
Right? Yeah.
Think about it.
But boy, when they speak, it's
and
like...
They're humble people, too,
yeah,
because
yeah.
of their character,
mm-hmm.
you know, the different ethnicities of them, right?
Right.
And that's
right.
Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, there's the, while we're on Chinatown, the Chinatown character resolution. Can you talk about that briefly, or what's going on with that and what's the status? You introduced that, correct?
I introduced it in terms of establishing more concretely how people like to have their model of Chinatown for the future. It will be short-term, long-term. And I was impressed. They got together in the China Committee, and I've never seen it happen before. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've been involved in the Chinese Chinatown community for many, many years, and even as a little kid, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And they came together, all the various leaders, and said, this is the character that we want of Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want a high-rise, which the mayor is proposing for this affordable housing
mm-hmm.
to take care of the ill effects of society.
Mm-hmm.
Whereby the city cannot monitor because they're not working relationship with the state. No.
Yeah. Well, I want to be very careful and let the listeners hear and know that we've already discussed this, and you're not insensitive to the plight of the mentally ill or
no.
whatever. I can speak for you on that, but I'll let you say it
yeah.
yourself. But also, you know, people, the way they've been trained, Rod Tam is, you know, you can just listen for a while and you can go away with something, but that's what they look for, you see. Here, there's bigger issues. And people place themselves. But the Chinatown character is part of Honolulu, part of Hawaii. I mean, I heard about Chinatown before I ever moved to Hawaii, here in Chinatown in Honolulu. You know, the stories and, you know, and what have you. And so there's a lot of character, and I think it contributes to the well-being of the economy here. You have all the art shows down here. Do they still have First Friday occurring?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that brings a lot of revenue and for a lot of the people and the artists and what have you. So
right.
How is that going now? Is it improving, getting better, or is there the economy impacting it?
Well, Chinatown basically is all small business,
mm-hmm.
and it helps the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people say, well, let's have big business, but you know what? Big business comes here from the continent of the United States,
mm-hmm.
or from overseas, and you know what they do? They take the profits home. Small business keeps the profits here, which
right.
helps stabilize and stimulate our economy.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, there's a thing that everybody, we're going to talk trash now. I mean,
sure.
And it's becoming a smelly subject, this shipping out of trash. And I hope you can be as candid as possible on this. And is it possible that someone step up to the plate? And I'll put you on the spot. Can you introduce a resolution to absolutely kill this activity? Because there's a claim that it's not costing the city any money, the shipping out. The city will only pay money and cost money when they ship it out. And that is far from the truth, because, first of all, the city's people that works at the landfill that run the scales train these private people. So that was man hours and time. And I don't know what the real status is. Did we pay for that? Did the city pay for that scale? There was a hoo-hoo over the scale. And then we have DPP, the Department of Planning and Permitting, who goes down and inspect and make sure that they are compliant. And also there's the P5 and the P6s as part of the permitting process and what have you. It's costing the city something. And the trucks leave the city yard from the various sites to transport it there, which eventually goes to the site, and it's not being shipped out. So can you set the record straight, and then I put you on the spot and ask you, can you put a resolution in or some kind of legislation, a bill or whatever, to kill this transportation, this shipment of trash out, and save us $10 million?
Yes. Let me say by this first. I'm disappointed in this contract for shipment of waste.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we all want to get rid of our waste by any type of way, basically use of technology and even the idea of shipping. You know, even the homeowner, you put your trash on pickup day or the night before, out of sight, out of mind. Basically, you want to get rid of your trash. Okay,
yeah.
And that's the concept in terms of the shipping of waste, but it's not working. You know, I was chair about 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
for the Public Works Committee. And we looked at different technologies, how to get rid of our solid waste, and the one that goes to the landfill or H-Power and so forth, because there's a lot of waste. You know, we produce waste every single day, every one of us as consumers. And I met Mr. Hodges, okay, who wanted to be a proponent of shipping of waste.
The guy that got
the
contract now.
Yeah, the one who got the contract now. And I said, God, that guy is arrogant. And I said, gee whiz. You know, usually, I've experienced, generally speaking, people who are so arrogant, not in terms of outspoken, but arrogant, are hard to work with. You have to watch over them every single minute, because you don't know what they're going to do. They want their way completely. Yes, I will be introducing a resolution to void the contract. It's not working.
Mm-hmm.
All those bundles of packages, big bundles of trash are sitting on the docks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and basically for weeks, months, now they got to be rewrapped.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the deterioration from the weather. Quite frankly.
And puka's being poked right. in, and part of the condition is that they have to stay wrapped for 75 days to, in theory, to kill off the bugs. Right. But then they have nowhere to ship it to.
I will be looking at in terms of the procurement of it within his contract. When I was a state senator, I was in charge of the committee, or chairman of the committee, of government operations. And I had revamped the procurement laws because there was some fuzziness to it. Right? So what happened, it all started with the library contract of the Baker Taylor one.
Right.
And it, not getting the sources of books that we wanted, that we ordered, they would send us miscellaneous library books. But anyway, what happened is I will be going over the existing contract, and the existing contract is about 10 inches thick. And so I'll be going over detail. Be pleased to open it up in terms of the public discussion later, again in a fall show with you. And looking in terms of something that's not right in terms of the procurement laws of the state and also the city.
And, you know, to be cautious here, I don't want the listeners to say that I'm sitting here defending you. I would never do that because I'm not fully informed. But what I can say is drawing parallels, and that is the city and county of Honolulu is in this pickle of a problem with the shipping out of trash because we had Todd Oppel, city councilman, and I'm careful to not to indict you or implicate you in my comments associated, but I'm going to say what it is that I believe to be the facts, and I know to be the facts. Todd Oppel introduced those bills and moved them forward, or was instrumental in moving them and shuttling them forward, or had someone else to introduce them, but he was behind the scenes to some degree, a great degree. And he's doing this on behalf of his employer, not the city and county of Honolulu, but Coalina Development, or Jeff Stone, because they want to see the landfill shipped out, shrink out, get it, be done with it. And there's ethic issues. And I've approached the Ethics Commission, the Tutto, and those, and talked about this, and it falls on deaf ears. And they know that no one would stand around for this length of time and tolerate a procurement process gone bad, and we have a $10 million bill looming over our head once these guys get going. I've never seen anything like it. That's what I would like to have seen Charles DeJoux point the finger. That's what I would like to have seen. The newspapers have written substantial articles about it, but they've never said, well, who is the culprit here? How did we get to have a program such as this that does not work?
Well, basically, you know, sometimes you have to be persistent. And there's so much persistence on what people would call political.
Right.
Right? And political persuasion. And it became reality, unfortunately. Now, I had introduced some technology. And one of them was so simple, but it was just pushed away on the side by Jeremy Harris, the former mayor. What I had to do is in terms of taking care of our trash and use it for energy is to shred all the trash.
Right.
Right? And some of it you got to put into a landfill that, you know, that cannot be burned for energy, like some metal that's not recyclable. So I introduced this technology called shredding. You would shred everything, basically. And you know what? It would have saved us a lot of money. Now we are paying for the shipping of waste. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Rather than keep it whereby we can produce money off of it, right?
And we were going to look at all of this new technology, and here we are back to basics of stacking and piling trash.
I think what's happening is the shipping of waste is the shipping of our problem to another state, basically. And it's probably having some big reluctance in wherever this waste is going. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I could sit here and talk about that one until the cows come home and we steal. But I would like to see the Ethics Commission investigate that. You know, really. And I would think probably half the council would be found to be at minimum negligent in doing their due diligence. The process of arriving at that contract was questionable, is questionable, and I've reviewed that contract. And there are some quite silly things in there, and I've expressed them on the show before. But that's what I wanted to see the TV cameras exposing and the newspapers writing in depth about. How did we allow the mayor and others to engage in setting up a $10 million contract and then beg the people to do what's right? They wanted to cancel originally because of the scale. They can't deliver, and yet we're sitting on our thumbs. So, you know, that is something that...
Well, anybody can call in to an ethics commission and file a complaint. It can be anonymous. And this is what happened to me.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, someone made an anonymous complaint or inquiry in terms of saying that I was at Dom Dominus, I heard. But in the lunchtime. But, you know, Dom Dominus doesn't open. And then I really don't go there. And I go to Zippy's. I meet people, my constituent Zippies. Then they said, well, some of your receipts and, you know, were questionable. I said, oh, yeah, I made some mistakes on that. And, you know, like you do some income tax, right, basically. A businessman does that. And so I said, okay, I'll reimburse it. And they said, what about your discretionary funds? I said, how can you be your constituents at Zippies? And I said, because I want to be out in the community with them. And make it comfortable whereby if they want to have coffee, they want to buy a breakfast, they want to buy lunches, that's fine with me. It's their money. It's a taxpayer's money. And if I ask them to come to my office, then they have to look for parking.
And they got to pay for parking.
They got to pay for parking.
And then you get limited.
And if they don't put enough money in the meter, then they get a ticket.
Yeah. And so they get an ulcer.
Right. And on top of that, the city hall has mold and mildew in the air ducts. And even I don't go there because I have an allergy.
Yeah, right? People chuckle at that, but the reality is it's a reality. These buildings are sick. I mean, HMB, the Fosse building, every other month or so, they may have three or four emergencies, false alarms, and the fire department have to come over because of the air conditioner breaks down or something. And so it is plausible.
But what's funny is that the city and the state, we inspect and cite private buildings
right.
for poor air quality or environmental problems, but we don't check our own buildings.
And then there are people that work there. These are not robots. These are people that work there, and they can be sick and as well as a regular citizen can right. be sick in a building that a private entity built.
I've been sending letters to from the Mayor Harris to the current mayor, asking them to address this issue. If you have to shut down the building, shut it down, and let's clean that environment. Remember with Hilton Hawaiian Village? They had the mold and mildew. They had to shut down the building. And we ordered it in government to do so, to clean it up.
So it was reality. It's not, you know, and some chuckle at you. But, you know, again, 524-1080, I have Rod Tam here, Councilman Rod Tam, and also mayoral candidate, by the way. You can ask questions if you want to, 524-1080, and you can pick up this broadcast at carol@carolcox.com. Feel free, and he's open to questions or comments, so... let's see if we have anybody there. Who's that? Ed. Good morning, Ed.
Yeah, good morning.
How are you doing? How's the turtle steaks?
How's the what?
The turtle steaks.
Turtle steaks? Yeah, right. I grew up on turtle steaks.
No, Ed, he's a frequent caller. He got under the skin of some of my other listeners when he said, but it's reality.
Oh, yeah.
You used to eat turtle.
Oh,
it was legal.
I grew up before as a little boy eating turtle steaks.
Anyway,
my uncle was a fisherman. He had a big sampan, and they'd go catch these turtles, and he'd give turtle steaks to my mother, and I said, turtle. I ain't eating that stuff.
Yeah, but the reality.
Later on, she said it's fried chicken.
Yeah.
So we ate it. Then she said, "How come you like that?" I said, "I love fried chicken." She said, "You were eating turtle."
The reality is, though, they're now threatened and endangered because we destroy the habitat we see a large number around here, but still they are
There's thousands of turtles out there. But getting back to Rock down here.
All righty. So we were slow at getting to it. Go for it.
Yeah, he mentioned that he would send letters to the mayor regarding problems or discussions. I think it's a big mistake. He didn't invite the mayor to lunch at Zippy's and discuss the problem.
Well, ironically, the mayor and I have met at Zippy's. But he paid the bill.
Why do you have to send him a letter? You know,
sometimes when you talk story and you say, hey, remember this, we talked about it, just to remind you and let me know in terms of the status of it. And, you know, there's some record keeping, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, Ed.
That's all I had to say. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you, Ed. But this is some things that's going on here. We got a vexatious requester bill, and I wanted to ask you, what's your opinion? I've never had any problems getting documents from your office, even though I sit and say bad things about you. I mean, it's, you know, but that's the nature.
Well, I live in a fishbowl, you know.
But I've never had any problems calling up and then Harriet emails them or send it to them or, you know, or what have you. But the thing is, transparency in government. There's a bill floating through right now that scares me because there are some people, and I'm going to be talking about this later on the Tina Quizon show coming up after this. Tina's in, by the way, in South Korea on the United Nations program for energy and what have you, and I'll talk a little bit about it. But I'm going to take her next hour, and we're going to be talking about things, and I think people will be shocked to know that even your colleagues are involved with the religious and what on and on and on. In today's paper, there's an article. But transparency, there's a move to block and label individuals as vexatious requesters, basically saying to them, you're bugging me, don't ask me any questions. What about transparency, and what's your view on that?
My view is that it's good. Again, we reflect it in terms of our form of government called democracy. And I've been to China at invitation of the government officials there 20 times, from 1984 to the early part of this year. And I have visitors from China that I invite, and we coordinate in terms of relationships and government and businesses, because I'm trying to stimulate Hawaii with international money coming in to stabilize and stimulate our economy. But it's needed. In fact, you know something funny, Carol? When I was in the state legislature for 20 years, from 1982 to 1994, I was called Mr. Sunshine. And people made fun of it. My colleagues made fun of it. But I didn't mind it. Mm-hmm. Because what is democracy all about? Transparency. Democracy. People getting involved. It's important for people to have access to information.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's the job of the lieutenant governor. He's the secretary of state. He's supposed to have a list of all the type of public documents available from state, basically. And he has the oversight of all boards and commissions which develop the rules and regulations of regulatory agencies in the state. Even a commission or a board like acupuncture. Mm-hmm. Or medical examiners and so forth, and doctors, barbershops, quite frankly. All those things are very important regarding the health and safety of the consumer. So transparency is very important.
And good, and we've had issues there. One of the things that also the the budget, and I was just trying to make sure one bill passed. There were three bills. One was for the executive capital budget, and one was for the operating budget, and another was for the legislative budget. Now, did the legislative budget pass?
Yes, it did.
And then, so there's two budgets left that they could, the city council couldn't come to terms with, or what happened on that? If you could let the public know, and any idea of why it's stalling, or is that normal? This is the first time I'm told that any bill has been floored or remains on the floor, or what have you.
Well, I'm not a member of the budget committee at this time.
Uh-huh.
And what happened is there was some confusion there. Mm-hmm. Communication was the problem, quite frankly. Communication was the problem between that of the city administration and the city council. And they had the necessary public hearing, and there was inquiry in terms of some information needed.
Mm-hmm.
But information was not maybe, requested questions were not very clear. I saw it as that. There was no writing out of these questions. Basically, it was verbally pronounced at the public hearing, and this is why sometimes you have to have some documentation,
right?
So they exactly know what it was said, what it's asked for. Otherwise, people say, oh, "I thought you meant something else." Quite frankly,
right?
So, and then the administration, maybe they sometimes forgot to respond,
mm-hmm.
right? So there was a deadlock on the operating budget of the city kind of Honolulu. And
it
we had
still
testimony.
Is.
This still is. We had testimony, say, from about 4 o'clock in the afternoon last week, Wednesday, all the way to 10:15, around there,
mm-hmm.
okay, p.m. And there was no break at all,
mm-hmm.
but continuously. And basically, in conclusion, I said, it's sad that we can't pass the budget. And the
mm-hmm.
problem is that there has to be more complete communication. I didn't want to point fingers at anybody, but it was a breakup of communication by all parties involved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So do you think that we might end up not passing this? What do you think?
Well, what came out of it, one positive thing in the public hearing before the full council was that the questions are going to be spelled out in writing, very clearly. And the administration verbally said, on the record, that they're going to respond to it.
Okay.
So, the next time we have a full council meeting on the operating budget will be on May the 12th.
And you think the public should be calling in, and what should they be raising issues about? What come to mind?
I would suggest this. Rather than we get stalled in terms of passing any budget, operating budget, what we need to do is have the public, if they have any questions, send it to Councilman Nestor Garcia. He's
okay.
the budget chair, out
okay.
of respect for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he can respectfully ask the administration if he needs to get information from them.
Okay. Okay. Well, we're coming down. We got about three more minutes. Any closing remarks?
Yeah. You know, basically going back to the Rose Street housing, affordable housing issue, I'm proposing some language with the funding for mm-hmm. affordable housing, which comes to about $7 million or so. The proposed language is one I see of parties working together, meet the
mm-hmm.
grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a safe ground for the mayor also, too. The proposed language is this. The city and county of Honolulu city administration will actively work in partnership with the Chinatown community in the development of affordable housing on River Street.
Okay. Well, good.
Yeah.
Now, if you would, that senior citizen group, as I say, in the coming week or so, I would like to invite them. If you know some
sure.
of them, give them our number, and they can pick it up at carolcox.com, those that have email. But anyway, I want to thank
you. Let me state in terms of what the role of a city councilman is, for clarity
mm-hmm.
and in closing. Basically, the role of a council member is to formulate legislation, bills, resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
for taking up action to govern people's lives in fairness. And they address the city government community problems, mm-hmm. the day-to-day problems, okay? Well, meet with constituents. And I know I've been laughed at with meeting constituents. I hardly spend any time in office.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't have any public hearings, I probably go there maybe 4 to 5 hours a week. My staff does all the paperwork for me. Then I also communicate with community constituents, government officials, business, and so forth. So really, it's in terms of this networking and gravitating for people's ideas.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Rod, Tam, Councilman. Anytime, feel free to come back and, you know, everybody throw darts at that's the problem with a microphone, you anonymity, but we want to be accountable, and that's why I extend, and I appreciate
you. Give me a call. You know, basically, I welcome it, and people said, yeah, call me.
Okay. But one in closing, and we're going to go, I'm going to take the next hour, Tina Quizon's show, The Pathways of Paradise and Global Entrepreneurs. Tina's in South Korea, and we'll be returning, and I'll be taking that. And please tune in. We're going to have a very interesting discussion with Mr. Bruce Williams, Wilson from Massachusetts, who talked to action.org. But anyway, thank you, Rod. And for those of you out there, I don't trust the Ethics Commission. I do have an active complaint before the Ethics Commission regarding Charles DeJew, and it was a cover-up. And then I also believe that as I sat talking to Charles Toto, he was gloating over the fact that he thought he had you, but yet he didn't want to do DeJew. So anyway, I just want to share that with the public, and let's not trust what we read because it may not be the real thing. So anyway, I think it's political, but that's my opinion. And I think that's what really happened. And if Rod is wrong, then punish you, but punish the other fellow too. Don't be selective.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rod. All righty. We're going to go, and please tune in the next hour, and we'll have another discussion on with Bruce Williams. Aloha. And here's a haha on his school again. Thank you.
Listening, and tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.